Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Love. King above all kings. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings.
Father God, you are King. Your Son Jesus reigns supreme. And so we sing that there is a name above all others as we open our first words and song of 2023. There's no more fitting way to start our year of worship than to sing the truth that there is a King whose name is greater than all, who reigns above all, who is coming again. So there will be a day that the war will be over, that we will be with you face to face. So Father, we know worship will be different and new and whole and perfect in that moment. But until then, may the songs we sing come from our heart. Until then, may the words we lift from your word bring truth to who you are, glory to who you are, draw men to you, and Father, give you the honor and praise you deserve. And Father, I ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would rule and reign in our midst as a people together, but also as individuals, that you would move in our hearts and lives, that we would be reminded as we start this new year that when Jesus spoke those very important words talking about the temple, that we can apply it to our church as well, when he said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." So, Father, may that be the theme of our year in 2023, that this house, your house, that this life, our own bodies, this house, your house, would be a house of prayer, a place of communion with you, of growth with you. Oh, Father God, thank you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to 2023. We're glad that you're here. Listen, talk to the person next to you and tell them congratulations, perfect attendance at church. Come on for the year. That's awesome. You made it. All you that are coming in late, you're getting a tardy for yours, but you're here. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. We're so glad you're here. Listen, I want to make a couple of quick announcements if I can. First of all, in your worship guide, you will see something very important. On the tear-off, if you're a guest, please take time to fill that out. We would love to have a record of your being here. We would greatly appreciate it. So if you would do that and then place it. Steve, I'm going to swap, sorry, to my other microphone here. So if you will place that in the offering box as you leave the tear off, that would be great. We would love to have a record, and we have a gift for you as well. There's also some things for our folks to sign up for, so take a look at that. But I want to mention, very important, on the back side of the tear off, it says my personal prayer requests. And what we would like you to do is sometime during the service, from now until we're done, if you would take time to give us your specific prayer requests for you or your immediate family. And here's what we're going to do with those. If you'll print, please, because we're going to type those into a document. And then this week, tomorrow night, starts our 140 hours of prayer. For 140 hours concurrently, from starting at 10 p.m. tomorrow night until 6 p.m. Sunday night, someone will be praying in this room, praying for each of the requests that are in this booklet. There are page after page of things that we have put together, ways you can pray. But one of the sections is praying for our faith family. So if you would fill out a personal request. Now, if it's something that you don't want your name on, just put confidential and put the request. But if you don't mind us praying for your name, we'd like to know and pray for you by name. And here's what we'll commit to you. If you will list a prayer request here, it is going to get prayed for 140 times by next Sunday evening. Now that's I believe in the power of prayer. So if you have a need, if you have something you want us to pray for, list it, please. Whether it's anonymous or put your name, you can do that, and then we will retype those. We're not going to list them as they are here. So if your name's at the top, you're signing up for something. If you put anonymous here, we'll know not to put your name in the request. I promise you, you'll be good there. So if you'll do that for us today before you go, you can place those in the offering box as well. Also, if you've not signed up to be a part of 140 hours of prayer, all of our slots are filled, all 140 except for one, and that's next Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon. So if you're willing to miss the sermon next Sunday, don't volunteer too quick, Lily. I tell you that, I'm just kidding. So I'm just, she's heard me preach for like 27 years. And so I'm just kidding.
So just kidding. Thank you. So if you would like to volunteer and pray next Sunday from 11 to 12, that's the only spot left. However, we want to double as many spots as we can. So what that means is the person who signed up first will pray right here. There'll be some chairs and information, your booklet for you to go through. But then in the family room right outside the door will be the second location. And so you can come at any time and pray. And we have more of these. We have one of these booklets for you to take home to pray through all of the things that we'll be praying for as a group. It's 13 categories of requests for this year. If you pray 5 minutes apiece, that's an hour and 5 minutes, so you won't be able to do them all. So just pick out the ones you can and move through that. I forgot, if you are participating online, we want to welcome you today as well. We're thankful that you are here and that you're worshiping with us too. If you would text the word welcome to 256-322-6100, it's on the screen right now. That'll let us know you're here for the very first Sunday of the year and worshiping with us, and we would greatly appreciate that. Now, as we sing this morning, let me say, I'm going to pray again, and we do not have a Church of the Week or Missionary of the Week. That's because there are well over 60 churches listed in here we're going to pray for all week long, and all of our missionaries have sent us specific personal urgent requests that we're going to pray for, and they're in the booklet as well. So no Missionary or Church of the Week. We're praying for all of them this week, and so we thank you for that. But as we pray, we are about to sing some beautiful songs of praise. This first one is one of my favorite worship songs, and we do it every year to start the new year as well. And then some beautiful hymns where we'll sing truth to who God is and what he's done in our lives. So I invite you, if you know the song, sing out. If you don't, you'll learn it quick enough and join in with us. Would you stand with me? And as we stand, I'm going to pray, and then you just remain standing and we'll sing together. Father God, thank you for a new year. Thank you that every one of us in this room woke up to a new start. And Father, we realize there is nothing more special about today than yesterday, that every day your mercies are new, that every day your grace is made new, that every day salvation is available to those that don't know you, that every day we have an opportunity to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. So Father, my prayer is that we would commit this year to you, that all glory be to Christ our King, all glory be to Christ, his rule and reign, we will ever sing. All glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing with us, friends.
Should nothing of our efforts and no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. Tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever see. All glory. see. Oh, glory be to Christ.
Can you sing this together with us?
In spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. In spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Break me.
Told you before, but it's my habit and routine that every Sunday when I park in the corner of the parking lot early in the morning and make my way in, I sing that chorus every Sunday to the Lord. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And it's such a powerful way to be reminded that God is who we need every Sunday, that I don't want to come in here with clever words, that your Sunday school teacher doesn't have something sophisticated to say, that the worship leader is not just going to try to sing really well, that we're not going to put on any type of show, that we need the Lord and we need God to move. So I want to invite you yourself, and you may not have sung it as you came in today from the parking lot like I do, but I pray that you would take just a moment and do what I do. And let's take a second. And would you close your eyes? It's simple words. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. We'll sing that little chorus again. So hold your, maybe just even take your hands and hold them out in front of you just as your open surrender to the Lord. And let's just sing that together. We'll sing it with the piano, with Nathan and with the team. Let's sing it. I need thee.
I need thee, oh, I need.
Let it be your prayer.
Every hour I need.
Sing it again as a prayer. Lift your voice.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
more time. Just your voice is lifted as a prayer.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I long to thee.
Spirit of the living God. Let it be your prayer.
Fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on me.
Let it be your prayer. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me.
Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God,
one last time, a cappella. I need thee.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Father God, may that be our prayer this morning, that we need you. We need you so desperately, Jesus. And God, when we pray, Father, when we pray, we fight our battles on our knees, God, because the battle ultimately belongs to you. And we sing that this morning, God. In your name we do pray. Let's sing this out, church. Here we go.
Oh God, the battle belongs. nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Sing it again.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Almighty
fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So then I fight out, fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Sing it!
Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise Him. Amen. Woo. Be seated if you will. This week we will fight on our knees as a church. We start the 140 hours of continual prayer tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Why 140 hours? Because by God's grace, our church later this year will celebrate 140 years of ministry. What a blessing that is to think about how many thousands of people have gone before in that 140 years. And our church, just like any other church that is a living body, has seen days of great joy and days of difficulty. We have seen days of increase and days of decrease. But what we know is in the middle of all of that, in seasons of problems, in seasons of progress, we know that God has been faithful. And He has been so faithful to us through the years. So what we will use throughout the year, you will see this anniversary logo, and there's three key words on it. If you'll notice, it's remember, rejoice, and renew. Now those were very purposeful, because that's what we want to do at different periods throughout the year. We want to remember, rejoice, and renew. So God has a lot to say about remembering. I'm going to give you several scriptures. It may be hard to follow along in your Bible. Normally we would take a passage and stick with it, but today we're moving around a lot. Do your best to keep up. They'll be on the screen. You can write them down for looking later. But God says a lot about remembering. In Psalms 77, verse 11, it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Now, this psalmist who wrote this psalm in the middle of that beautiful passage is telling us that we can remember what God has done for us. Jesus himself says in John 14, 26, but the Helper, that's capital H, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So Jesus makes a commitment to us that when he was going to leave the earth, and he did, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in the lives of all believers, that the Holy Spirit will teach us, the Holy Spirit will lead us, the Holy Spirit will explain the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will help bring to our memory all that Jesus has said that we have read. Now listen, I don't know about you, but my rememberer needs all the help it can get. What about yours? Listen, my memory is not what it used to be by any means or stretch of the imagination, but isn't it comforting to know, no matter how old you are, no matter how gray the hair, how loose the hair, how young you are, how fluffy and curly the hair, all that, no matter what the case may be, here's the deal. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit who sealed your salvation, the same Holy Spirit that drew you to God, the same Holy Spirit that is at work in your life to convict you, the same Holy Spirit that leads you, the same Holy Spirit that empowers you, that same Holy Spirit will help you to remember the words of Jesus and what he has done. That's a powerful verse to grab a hold of today. Also, we'll switch back to the Psalms again. King David, late in his life, this was towards the end of his time as king. In Psalm 143, verse 5, he writes these words. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. Now, when I read that, I wonder what it is David remembers. You think back to what we learn in the scripture about David. He would have a lot to remember. There were the good times and the bad, the time that he obeyed the Lord in power and the times that he disobeyed the Lord, and it cost him, his family, it cost the lives of others. I can imagine David even remembering those dark moments, but you can remember them with a sense of grace when you know that God has provided and God has been merciful even in the middle of that. If you've ever wanted to know how to truly repent and what words to use to confess your sin to the Lord, there's no greater chapter of confession than Psalm 51. In fact, let's turn there together. That's not in the notes. If you guys grab it, that's fine, but if not, no big deal. Psalm 51. I'll read it straight from my hard copy here. Psalm 51, it's the words of David. And now I want you to think about in your own life what it means to confess to the Lord our sin, what it means to stop and to acknowledge that we have disobeyed him, that and that he has provided grace upon grace for us. Listen to these words in Psalm 51 that David says. Now, he says these words after Nathan the prophet confronts him about what happened with Bathsheba. And so in full conviction, David writes these words. He says, and this could be your words. This could be my words. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed Psalm 51. He says, have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, my sins. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sins are ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. He says, God, you have every right to judge me. Look at verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let these bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with the willing spirit. Verse 13, then he says this, once I confess, if you will do this, God, and I know you'll give mercy, he says, then I will do this. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Can you stop and imagine how many people have come to know Jesus because of what they learned from the words of King David penned in the Psalms? These very words he spoke are true. He says, I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. He says, do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. So what does he say? He says, God, create in me a clean heart. Listen, friends, I pray that you would let that be your prayer of confession today as we begin the new year. So David, when he says, I remember the days of old, I'm inferring, but I believe that he had to have remembered his need to confess. He had to have remembered. Because I don't know about you, but if I try to live out that verse and I remember the days of old, I remember a lot of knuckleheaded decisions that I made along the way. In my 51 years of living, I assure you, there are many, many decisions that I wish I could go back and change. And as I remember my days of old, I am so thankful for God's grace. I'm so thankful that he did not give up on me. And I'm thankful he didn't give up on you. Listen, there are dozens more times that the Bible says to remember. So will you take just a moment right now and think back to last year? Now, for some of us, we just had to go to last night, right? But think back from last year all the way through last year. And I want you to think and remember what God has done for you. Let me point you in a few directions. Maybe you would answer this. Did he walk with you in grief this past year? Oh, remember him for that. Did he provide grace for you in times of trouble? Remember that. Did he provide blessings you never expected? Remember that. Did he answer a prayer that you've been praying a long time? I can think of some that God answered in my life that we've been praying a long time. He's still answering them, but what a blessing. Did he sustain your salvation when everyone else would have dropped you? Now, make no mistake about it. Anybody else would have dropped you. You say, well, how do you know, Chris? I've been a pretty good boy. Listen, if you're anything like me, I'd have dropped me in a heartbeat, but God sustained you. His salvation holds us new. Did he sustain your life? Think about this for a moment. The average human will take around 10 million breaths a year. Everybody breathe in, breathe out. You'll do that 10 million times this year, give or take a half a million. And here's the thing, probably very few of us in this room had to think about that even for one of those 10 million breaths. The average human's heart will beat 42 million times a year, and you gave not one single command for that to happen. Can you imagine if you had to remind yourself, beat, 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 beat? How horrible would that be? You walk around doing that, right? I mean, it would be terrible, but you didn't. Your heart, your body's amazing. God sustained you. Your blood pumping muscle didn't do it. God did it. So we remember him. The average human will sleep around 2,800 hours in a year. If you're a teenager, that's about 11,000 hours a year. But for the rest of us, it's 2,800 hours a year. The Bible says, we read it 3 weeks ago, he who watches over Israel does not sleep nor slumber. Do you remember that? Some of you remember it because I put my foot in my mouth. I made a little simple illustration that I said, while I'm asleep, I'm helpless to the world. So what if my wife took a pillow and just got me like that? And I didn't mean she would actually do it. I just said it's possible that it could happen. And here's what I learned. She never thought about it until I said it that day. And she was not happy with me. And so I get it, okay? So the average human speaks over 10,000 words a day. That's a lot of opportunity to get yourself in trouble. Hence what I just said, right? You get it. Listen, and I could make the jokes about who speaks more, women or men, but here's what statistics really show. It's about equal. Anyway, we speak a lot of words, and we can get ourselves into a lot of trouble. And the very God that allows all that to happen has sustained you every step of the way. So would you take a moment right now and just remember his blessings and provisions? Will you offer thanks to him? Take just a second. I'm actually going to be quiet for about 30 seconds. I'm going to ask Don to pick on the guitar a little bit. We're not going to take long. And I want you just to thank God for this last year, how he sustained you, the breath he gave you, the heartbeat he gave you, the prayers he answered, the ones you're still hoping he will answer, the way he walked with you in difficulty, the way he helped you, and the way you were promoted, all the things that he did. Would you take just a second, about 30 seconds, and just think about the goodness of God? Just do so right now. Just thank him. God's going to lead us in that little chorus of the goodness of God. While you're thanking him, just sing this little chorus with us.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
Let's sing that again. All my life. Let's back up. Sing that one more time. Lift it up.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
God, you've been so good to us, and so we take time to remember what you have done in our lives. Thank you for your gifts of mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So we remember, and our second directive for the new year and in that logo that you'll see throughout the year is to rejoice. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. If you look at that in the context of that chapter, guess what he means? He means rejoice in the Lord always. It's really simple. We can read the whole chapter, but the context is clear. Rejoice always in the Lord. And again, if in case you forget, rejoice, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, again, Paul says, rejoice always. So what does it mean to rejoice? It's to experience gladness, praise, and gratitude because of God. That's what it means to rejoice. That's a biblical definition. It's gratitude, praise, and gladness because of what God has done. So rejoicing is a decision. Rejoicing is something that we experience in our lives. You can't rejoice passively. You rejoice actively. So when the Bible says to rejoice, it involves participation. We rejoice with our experience based on God. So let's rejoice today. We praise God for who he is. We praise him for his character, for his qualities. It's not so much thanking him for what he did, which we just did. It's rejoicing is to praise him for who he is, for his attributes, for his kindness, for his goodness. I'll think of a few and you think of some and let me know. We praise God because he is merciful, because he is just, because he is holy, because he is altogether lovely, because he is righteous, because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one who gave you breath. He's the one that will take your breath. He is the giver of life. We praise him for the fact that he is great and mighty and powerful. What a good God we have. And so rejoice in him for just a moment. Stop it in your own mind and own heart. Take a second and think about his quality, his character. Not what he's done for you, but just who he is. That he is truth. That he is justice. That he is righteous. That he is mercy. That he is kindness. That he is the definition of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He is the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus the Son. He is God the Father. He is our sustainer. He is our life giver. He is the one who brings salvation. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise him. Rejoice for who he is. And then the third word, remember, rejoice, and then comes renew. This is what we will seek to focus on all this year. We're going to remember some things from the past 140 years. We're going to remember God's grace and goodness. We're going to rejoice over what he is doing and how he's at work and how he's changing lives all around the world. And then we will renew as a faith family and hopefully as individuals, we will renew our desire to follow Jesus. We'll renew our desire to share the gospel. We'll renew our desire to make disciples around the world. When I was about 9 years old, I told this story a few years ago, but several of you would not have heard it. When I was about 9 years old, my family took a trip to Gatlinburg, and so we had a wonderful time. We didn't go on many vacations, didn't have the money to do so, but we saved up and went and spent several days there, and we decided to make the most of that last Sunday there, so we enjoyed all the things we could do and enjoy there, and then late afternoon, we started our journey to make our way home. And we were tired, and so we got stuck in that major bottleneck of traffic. Many of you in your mind can picture right where it is before you get on the interstate. You've been there, you've been stuck there, all those good things. So we were stuck there for well over an hour. This was years ago, so I didn't have the roads they have now. And then it was way after dark, it was getting late, and my father had to be up at 4 a.m. the next morning to leave for work in Huntsville. And we were still stuck in Knoxville, so we decided that wasn't gonna work, so we pulled the station wagon over. My mother mother and father swapped sides. My dad immediately, this is on Interstate 75 there in Knoxville, my dad immediately closes his eyes to go to sleep. The three brothers, myself and my two brothers, were laying in the back of the station wagon. That was acceptable safety back in the early 80s. Who else did that at some point? Okay, you survived. I don't know how, but we did. And so at least we weren't up in the dashboard, but we were down there in the back. We were laying there asleep, and my mom starts driving, and we're driving along, and life is good. And I'm dreaming about candied apples and taffy and fudge, and we've had, and we're having a good time, and we're almost all asleep. My dad's been asleep. We drive for an hour and a half or so. I don't know. And then my mom says these words as a question really slowly. She says, "Welcome to Kentucky." And my dad shot up and we shot up. And sure enough, when they got back on the interstate, my dad closed his eyes and she headed north on 75 instead of south on 75, went all the way to the Kentucky line. I'd never been to Kentucky before that day. It was special. It was a special moment between my parents that night too. And so we went all the way there and it was great. But here's what I would say to you. Listen, we had a car that would get us where we needed to go. We had the right equipment. We had the people inside to make it happen. We had gas in the tank, everything we needed to make it to our destination, which was Huntsville, Alabama. But we ended up in Kentucky instead. How does that happen? Listen, friends, that's the best illustration I can give you for what renewal needs and what it means for us and why we need it. As a church, you can have everything a church needs. You can have a room full of people. You can have a pastor that will open the Bible and preach from it. You can have Sunday school teachers that are prepared every week. You can have music. You can have committees. You can have deacons. You can have greeters. You can have sound guys, musicians. You can have all the things that you want a church to have and still not be living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it happens. There are churches that go through the motions. And the best way I can describe that to you is the word that we use that has become really sort of negative, and that is this: it's religion. It's not relationship. If we're not careful, it's we're checking the boxes. We're doing this and this and this. And but yet maybe there's no life there. And friends, I want to tell you, if we have one Sunday in this place that the Holy Spirit doesn't reign supreme, we have wasted our Sunday. And so we need God to move in power among us. So renewal is not about you got to go find the right equipment to make church happen. We've got that. You can have money in the bank, a great ministry staff. You can have all the resources, service times, preparation, all the things that we can have put into place. We can have all of that. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't rule and the Holy Spirit doesn't have power among us and God's will is not done, we are headed the wrong direction. So today, I want to encourage you as an individual, and I want to encourage us as a church to renew. Now, what does it mean to renew? How do we renew our calling as individuals? How do we renew our vision as a church? How do we renew our effectiveness? Well, it starts by singing what we did earlier, "Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Break us. Mold us, melt us, use us. God, make us who you want us to be." So we can have God's word, but we want to live out God's word. Listen, friends, no offense, but reading God's word is not enough. You can read it every day in 2023, but if you don't apply what you've read, listen, it's just words on a page. It's the application that matters. In the book of James, we get this beautiful picture where it says, the man who looks at the word of God intently and then turns away and forgets what it says is like a man who looks in a mirror and then turns away and forgets what he looks like. It's not enough to read God's word, to own a copy, or commit to read it through in a year. That's great. But what we have to do is say we will apply it to our lives. So that's the renewal we make today. Also, we stop and we think about how we renew and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to rule and reign among us. The best illustration I can give you is one that was used 8 or 9 years ago for us here as a church, and it's a picture of this. Picture a sailboat, as you'll see behind me. A sailboat takes work. It takes knowledge. You don't just hop on a sailboat and take it out for a spin with no knowledge of how it works. You might do that in a bass boat. You might do that in a ski boat. You might do that in a rowboat, but you don't just hop on a sailboat and do that. You will either be dead in the water, turned upside down, or you might even fall off. For a sailboat to work, you need knowledge. You need effort. And the most important thing you're going to need for a sailboat to work is wind. You will need the wind. And so what I would say to you is this, ultimately, as a person who's in a sailboat, you put yourself in the best position to catch something that you have zero control over, and that's the wind. You do the best you can. But have you ever noticed the sailboats down in the harbor where they are on the other side of Gunnersville? They're not out every day. There are certain seasons and certain times where they're out in force. Why? Because the wind is right. And we have no control over catching that. We position ourselves to be where the wind is blowing. That's what renewal is. Renewal is all about raising the sail in your life. It's raising the sail as a faith family. It's positioning ourselves for the divine wind, which is literally what Holy Spirit means, for the divine wind to blow and to catch and to lead us. So we are called to develop a knowledge of God and His ways. That's unquestionable. We need to know God's word. We are called to live the disciplines of the faith. That's unquestionable. We need to live God's word. But make no mistake about it, it is God who transforms us. And it is the Holy Spirit that will bless and lead and empower our church to change the community, the world, for the gospel's sake. And so we ask Him to do that. We ask God to invade our lives. We raise the sail, which is the best we can do is to say, God, we need You. Oh, we need You. Every hour we need You. Lord, in my life, I need You today. I surrender to You today. I throw up my sail today and ask You to move in power. It is God who makes us new. So would you raise the sail in your life today? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to call you, to empower you, to convict you? Will we ask the Holy Spirit as a group to do that? Now you may say, well, if He's doing it, I don't really have anything to worry about. Now listen, it is a partnership. The Bible is clear. You have a part to play in the Holy Spirit's work in your life. I'll give you three places, write them down to read later. In Ephesians 4, we find out that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. You ever grieved somebody in your house? You know, you have. You ever been grieved by somebody? You know what that's like. Ephesians 4 lets us know we can grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 says we can quench the Holy Spirit. Have you ever walked into a room and everything was great and somebody else walks into the room and the life gets sucked out of the room? You know what I'm talking about. Someone can quench that, and we can quench the Holy Spirit at work among us. And then in Acts chapter 7, if you go back and read it, it says that we can, sadly, we can resist the Holy Spirit. So friends, if we have the ability to grieve the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, and resist the Holy Spirit, that means we have a part to play in being renewed by the power of the Spirit. So our part is to walk humbly before God. Our part is to ask Him to lead. Our part is to ask Him to show us. And the best way to ask Him is to open the Word of God and study it on a regular basis, a daily basis. To get on our knees, either physically or symbolically, to get on our knees before God every day and to ask Him to move in our lives and lead us of who to pray for and who to interact with and where to go. So today, as we end our time together, will you do that? Will you raise the sail with me? Will you take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit to reign in your heart? Ask Him to reign in your family this year. Let's ask Him to reign and rule in our church. Listen, God blessed us last year with basically right at 50 families that united with our church. That's crazy. What a blessing it's been. But I got to tell you, an organization can add people, and you just add people. An organization can lose people, you'll just be smaller. I could talk on and on about different civic groups and organizations where people will come and go and all things happen, but here's what I would say about our church. We don't ever want to look back and remember and think that somehow we've arrived because God sent new people. We're thankful for all the people He sent to be a part of our faith family. But the blessing is, what is God doing to use all of us who occupy the pews to go out and live in His power 6 days and 23 hours other than the time we were sitting in this pew? You see, it's not about our seating capacity. I've had some people say, we need a bigger worship center. If we put everybody from both services together, we'd never fit on a regular day besides a holiday. It's the truth. But here's the deal. We're not going to measure our success as a church by our seating capacity. We're going to measure it by our sending capacity. How many will we send this week to live the gospel in our community? This year, the difference we will make in that. So friends, will you raise the sail? First of all, for your own life, would you take a moment and ask God to renew you? Help, ask him to help you want to be in his word. Ask him to help you to want to apply his word. Ask him to help you want to share the gospel with others and to live it out among you. We ask him for renewal. Raise the sail. And then help us as a church. Would you pray that God would position us to reach Albertville for Jesus? That he would position us to reach Marshall County for Jesus? That he would position us, equip us, and send us to make a difference for the world, for the kingdom of God, until he returns? That's my prayer for 2023. And I pray you join me. Would you bow your heads with me? We ask you to bow your head, really just for a little privacy. We're going to sing something familiar. We just sang it earlier. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. That's going to be our invitation hymn today. So my prayer is that as we sing this, that you might respond. Maybe you want to come and get on your knees and raise the sail for your own life. Maybe you want to come get on your knees and raise a sail for your son or daughter's or your spouse's life, asking God to move in their life. Maybe you want to come and just pray for our church. Maybe you pray at your seat. Maybe you have another decision. Maybe you're saying, God is calling me to unite with this church, and I do want to be a part of allowing the Holy Spirit to move that we might make a difference in the kingdom. I can think of no better day to join the church than January 1st, so come on. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus. We have others that have done so recently and some that will be baptized soon. Maybe you say, I have given my life to Jesus. I want to follow through with believers' baptism. And you come to say that, and we'll do that soon. Maybe you have another prayer request. Would you just respond as God directs? Nothing forced by me, but respond as God directs. And let's raise the sail. Let's ask for and pray for and begin the process of renewal. You say, Chris, I had the best year I've ever had of growing in the Lord last year. That's great. Renew it today. You might say, Chris, I had the worst year ever. I feel so distant from God. Listen, I feel you, friend. I'm so sorry. But today, repent and renew today. Don't worry about yesterday, today. Father God, please have your way among us now. You are holy, you are good, and we will respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.